Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, December 18th, 2023. We're counting down to the end of the year. Butch, hi.
Yes, we are. How you doing?
Great. Super.
And the first day of winter is just Friday, so it'll be the shortest day of the year, so we can start looking forward to days getting longer again, finally.
Oh, finally.
But anyway, it's a good day to have a nice, cozy house to be inside. It really is.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, the shoreline going up the East Coast, man, was it nasty. I mean, there was winds, 40, 50, 60 mile an hour winds. Ton of rain. We had like over 4 inches of rain.
Oh, wow.
Some of the inland parts of Maryland had over 5 inches of rain overnight. And it was close to almost a hurricane. I think 70 is when they declare it a hurricane. 70 mile per hour winds.
No flooding yet? No flooding yet?
No. I mean, I actually went to a show last night, and it was nasty, but the low tide, it was during low tide, so nothing was flooding yet. But, you're hearing there was a little bit further north of us, or a little bit further inland, they got it a little bit worse. And I've heard that this morning there was a lot of bad accidents and lots of flooding and trees down. And so it was, and that's just our area. So,
wow.
So it was a pretty powerful storm. Like I said, if it was 70 mile an hour winds, would have been they would have classified it as a Cat 1, I believe. So,
well, living by the coast can be fun when the weather's good. Other times,
trust me, I was out there this morning at daylight digging a ditch because I have a sump pump and. Where that expels the water,
right.
The ground had sunken in a little bit, and I didn't think it was any big deal. Well, it was a big deal last night, so it couldn't, once it would expel the water, it just stayed on top of the drain, and it wasn't draining anywhere. So I was out there digging a ditch. See?
Oh, my. I know it's not funny now, but what can I say? You know, good for you. I'm glad you can still do that. That's good.
Yeah. Tell my knees tomorrow. But you know what? The good Lord was good, because there was a brief period of time where it was a little windy, but we didn't have the rain. And while I was out there working, there was no rain. And only when I stopped did it start to rain again. So
well, he was,
yeah, how about that? So, see, blessings can be found in everything that we do.
If you look hard enough, there's always a silver lining. Absolutely.
And you give the power to him. So, absolutely. Well, let's see if he was good to gold today. Well, it was up a little $5. I'm looking at the gold COMEX 2040. And I think because of all the water, I think a lot of the lines and everything are wet. I mean, I'm having a hard time. Fact, my phone lines are working fine, so you can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. But our fax line's not working. So I think, you know, maybe there's something weird going on, maybe moisture in the lines or something. And I think that's happening perhaps to my computer screens too. Not sure, but maybe with the high winds that's, you know, going up the East Coast, that's continued to go up the East Coast, that could be a possibility. But anyway, so I'm taking the numbers off the gold COMEX, February 2040, up $5. Excuse me. The silver was down. We're at 24.09. And the paper markets today, the S&P 500 closed higher. The NASDAQ jumped for the eighth day. And the Dow Jones was basically unchanged. It was up, you know, not even a full point. The S&P was up 21 points, and the NASDAQ was up 90 points. European markets, the FTSE was higher by 38 points. Everything else was in red territory. Asian markets were all red. The Hang Seng was down almost 1%. 10-year yield, 3.94 on the 10-year yield. And my natural gas today was higher, less than 1%, 2.50 for natural gas. So there we have it. Platinum was basically unchanged. Let me pull that up. Platinum was basically unchanged, 952. Palladium was down $10 at 1192. $11.92 for palladium. So, you know, we've seen gold gain a little bit, you know, and they're saying that the traders are buying on dips. Everyone is awaiting the U.S. inflation data that will be coming out. And I'm not quite sure what that date. I think it's coming soon. It could be this week. So, that's pretty much it. In oil stocks jump today. U.S. steel soars on a buyout deal. New York Fed finds new workers offered record average wages in November. Here's an interesting one, Butch. 60% of student loan borrowers made payments when the bills restarted. So 40% did not make their loans. Did not make any payments.
Mm.
That's a big chunk.
That is a big chunk. 4 out of 10. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And
that's a big chunk.
Yep. So I think that's pretty much, you know, it's a lot of so much of the same stuff, Butch.
Oh, it is. It is.
Kind of, you know.
But, you know, gold is holding over 2,000 now, and I expect it'll drop below that eventually a little bit. But anybody's been with metals any length of time at all realizes metals fluctuate, but they gain every little bit and never go back down to the previous bottom. They go up and down. They go up two steps, step back one, go up three, come back two, but they keep going up. And that's a key thing with having metals, Melody. With a dollar, every day, you're losing percentage every day. Every day. I don't care if you put money in the bank and you've got a $500 interest amount coming in at the end of the year, you still lost because the dollar's lost value. But with gold and metals, precious metals, it may fluctuate, but it never comes back down to the to what it was before, because it's always a value. It can't go to nothing because it's worth something. That make sense?
Absolutely.
So I don't want people jumping on medals with both feet. And whoever has the funds that can get in there needs to do it now. Because this it's not going to come back down to any. It's not going to come back down to $35 now, like it was in 1971.
No.
It's not going to come back down to $300 now, like it was back in 2000. It's not going to happen, folks. It's $600 now, it's 2000. Gold went up 600% since turn of the century. It's not going back down 600%. If the whole world falls apart, all the fiat currencies go to nothing, gold and silver are still in your hand and worth something. There you go. It's that easy. Go ahead, Melody.
And it really is. And I'll tell you what, you talk about buying on the dips and when it's quiet. I think the next 2 weeks, I mean, people are not focused on hardly anything but the holiday.
That's true.
And I don't know why this year feels different. It just feels like it's just a lot more, I don't know, it's just different.
There's a heaviness in the air. There's something, a burden, I guess you could say. I think everybody feels it.
And, we've talked about these, people are just out there buying, making themselves feel good. You know, they don't want reality. They want the illusion world that government created for them.
AI is going to be so popular? AI is going to be popular because it takes people out of the real world.
That's right. That's right.
That's very true. I mean, it's like people, have done drugs and done booze for years trying to escape the real world. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You can never escape it. You can never get out of it. You may slide out of it in your mind for a while, but that doesn't change the real world, does it?
No, it does not. And you know what? The funny thing about it is you won't even need a college education anymore. As long as you have AI, you can plug into there and say, hey, create me a... I need a story about,
right.
A history story on, December 15th, 1893. You'll have a 4-page story. I mean, people aren't going to have to think anymore. And that's what they're doing. They're taking away your thinking ability. There is no more, there's no more thinking.
There's no more reasoning.
There's no more reasoning. There's no more thinking.
No, there's not. And there's no more common sense. That's the sad part. Common sense is dying.
But common sense comes from thinking, too.
Yes, it does. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Yeah.
And so, how many years have we talked about dumbing down the kids and the populations? They succeeded.
Oh my gosh! Yes, they can't read. They can't read and write, but that's no biggie today. No big deal. They do everything on computers.
And here's one out of the Financial Times: bankruptcy soar as high rates and end of COVID aid hit businesses hard. Zombie firms lose lifeline as increased borrowing costs compound withdrawal of pandemic era support. You're looking at corporate bankruptcies are increasing at double digit rates in most advanced economies. As borrowing costs rise and government unwind pandemic-era measures to support business worth trillions of dollars. Following a decade of decline, the numbers of U.S. corporate bankruptcies rose 30% in the 12 months to September compared with the year-ago period. 30% increase.
That's huge. That is huge.
Germany. Their bankruptcies rose 25% from January to September compared with the year ago period. So, it's everywhere.
Well, Oracle had in front of me here the percentage of the world debt. Now, listen to this. Governments around the world have accumulated $97 trillion in total debt, a 40% increase since 2019. 5 years, it's went up 40% in the world debt, Melody. Now think about that. 5 years, it's went up that much, 40%. And of course, good old United States, number one in debt. They're number one with over a third of the debt being along the United States. China's second, and then comes in Japan and some others. But America, good old America, is the most in debt nation in the world. We used to be the most prosperous and not in debt nation in the world. But in the last 4 or 5 years, the world debt's went up $97 trillion. I mean, went up 40%. So you're talking about, I mean, bankruptcies on a small scale for corporation all adds to debt, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
But the thing about that, it's went up, the debt went up in the worldwide 40% in the last 5 years. That's amazing.
Well, you know, from this Financial Times article, it says, according to the IMF, the massive government support schemes for companies and households amounted to more than $10 trillion.
Oh,
this is in the U.S. This is in the U.S., according to the IMF estimate for 2020, the first 4 months.
So
since then, the packages have been largely withdrawn. But now you get all these businesses that are going to have to refinance. That's what I've been talking about. They have to refinance their debt at these higher rates in these coming months.
And all the millions and billions give to the people, they've probably had to spend it. Well, a lot of them spend it, I'm sure, on frivolous things. But many of them are trying to save some of it, now have not spent it all because they're trying to keep their head above water. So it's going. It's going. It's done. It's going. The whole point is that little drop of help is comes to an end, Melody, for individuals and businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to pay the piper.
It is. So yes, maybe things didn't happen in 2023 like so many predicted. And maybe it'll even take us into 2024. We have an election year. Lord knows what they can do and can, you know, during this year.
I agree.
But things are happening, and the only thing that's keeping people from realizing the fact that things are not good in this nation is basically the stock markets. That's all you're ever fed.
Mm-hmm.
Is how great the stock markets are doing.
It is.
And people think, hey, maybe I'm just the only one having a problem.
Well, they talk to their neighbors. They should know better than that.
Well, I know, but I'm saying all eyes are on the stock markets. That is the economy. People are out there buying things. It keeps people employed. So.
Well, consumerism has run this country now for many, many years because they no longer manufacture. We consume. If the consumers quit buying, then, I mean, the whole economy is finished. Period. That's it. Matter of fact, one article here, homelessness in the U.S. hit a record high last year as pandemic aid ran out. Now, this, you know, I have a hard time imagining being, I know people are homeless. I mean, we have them in Charleston, West Virginia, on the streets to see them. I can't imagine this time of year, right? You know, it's cold here in the mountains right now. And down the valley of Charleston, not so much, but it's cold. It's probably snowing down there, too. To be out in the streets in nights like this, or trying to find a shelter, some place to sleep. I have a hard time imagining that, I mean, especially those that don't want to be there. Some of them don't care. I realize that. But I'm sure a lot of people would like to have a home. Homelessness in America spiked last year, reaching a record high, according to an annual count that provides a snapshot of one night in January. The report released today by the Department of Housing and Urban Development found that more than 650,000 people were living in shelters or outside in tents or cars. That's up a whopping 12% from the year before. So it's just really, I mean, the simple thing, people can't afford homes now. That's just a fact. The homes are priced out of reach. And they're living in tents, living in cars, living wherever they can. Just listen to the recording the other day, a couple living in a tent in a neighbor's backyard because they lost their home. Don't know how long they stay there. But can you imagine living in a tent at 30 degrees outside and wind blowing, the cold and snowing, especially if you have children? Folks, we take a lot for granted for those of us who have a place to sleep tonight. But the economy in America is not good. I mean, they have to clean up streets when dignitaries come in, clean the human waste out of the streets, clean up the homeless out of the streets so they can impress the Chinese dictator. That's America today. Melody, go ahead.
No, we're just about heading into the break, so... I guess we'll be right back. I thought you were going to continue, but hey, we'll be right back. I was just, you caught me off guard there. But stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blixen and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle jangle, oh what a beautiful sight. So jump in bed and cover your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Here comes Santa Claus. 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. We're going to have I will be working here through the holidays, returning phone calls and everything. Of course, we'll be closed next Monday. And we'll be on a skeleton crew throughout the week. Come back full time after the first. So if you're looking to buy gold and silver, give us a call because we're here to work. Make it worth my while to work through the holidays. So 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And,
you know, Melody, you know, go ahead. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to talk about, there was a Bloomberg article about private credit attracts billions from U.S. pension plans. And I think that's kind of interesting because what it's telling you that you have all these investments, all your you know, your governments, your state pensions and local funds, they're all boosting allocations to this sector. You have retirement plans that are seeking higher returns, but it's a huge risk because what happens is we're at a point in time where the banks are cutting back on their lending. So if people are going outside, you're having all of these subprime loans and so forth, areas that are being created. On my travels last week, I saw a car dealership that says everyone gets approved.
I've seen that, yes.
So, you know, we're heading, you know, that's all great. Yes, there's bigger returns. But you talk about risk. And now your pension plans, your retirement accounts are going into something that's highly risky. But yet, you know what? Your financial planner's got to find a way to make sure that you get those big returns or you'll go elsewhere. And I guess to some degree, that is his job. But do they ever tell you about the risk that your overall retirement account or your pensions and so forth will be taking? So, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting, Butch.
It is. I don't know, but I do see that you're talking about the cars. They have one here in our local area that, you know, no matter what your credit is, no matter what you can afford, we'll get you in a car. You'll ride for $99. I just wondered how that's supposed to work and how long it's going. I don't know, Melody. I see these things, and I do think about it. I just wonder how is it working. Does a guy ever, I mean, they finance a car yourself, I suppose. I don't know. But they make money, I suppose. I don't know how it works, but they make money.
Well, yeah, usually the down payment is what kills you. The down payment is usually what the car is worth.
Well, that's probably true.
You know, to some degree, you know.
You know, one thing, and I'll say this, folks, I never could afford to buy a lot of precious metals. What I bought of it off Melody over the years. But it is good to know that what little bit I have, if I would have to trade cars, and I hope I never do again. I've always hated trading cars. I have enough in there and some coins, Melody, I could pay the difference and not have to worry about it. That's a little bit of security, isn't it?
Certainly is.
You know, I mean, that is makes you, I mean, something would happen to me. Marcia's by herself. I know she'd be okay. If she had to buy another car, she could do that. I'm not wealthy, but because I listen to folks like you, I put some of those things back, and I have that backing in case of emergency. If I need to do something with it, I can. Folks, this is why we talk about these things, because it's not getting any easier out there. Got an article here that says Wells Fargo shutters 12 branches in a week, while Bank of America axes 5 amid banking bloodbath. Is your local or on the chopping block? Now, folks, this is going to come to a hometown near you real soon. American banks filed to close 30 branches last week, leaving yet more households without access to basic financial services. Wells Fargo shuttered 12 locations, while Bank of America axed five, according to a weekly bulletin published by a regulator of the Office of Comptroller of the Currency. Meanwhile, Citizens Bank shut down 4 branches between December 3rd and the 9th. Chase, Webster, Key Bank, Bank First, First National Bank, and Waverly also announced their raft of closures. The figures come amidst a widespread banking bloodbath, which saw firms axe more than 1,000 branches in the first 7 months of the year. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot of banks closing.
Yeah.
1,000. It goes on to tell about some of the latest places they closed, like in Florida, New Jersey, California, D.C., Iowa, and Virginia. But meanwhile, four Bank of America's branches have been axed, located in Florida, while another was based in California. The company said it had 5,400 branches in 2013 and has around 3,800 this year. So they've shut down a lot of them. This is the Bank of America. But over 1,000 branches have shut in 7 months. That is a lot of branches. That's 20 per state closing right now that we could say average up per state. So one day, and never in the future, I've been told this by people that run the banks, that soon they won't even need tellers in there. They're cutting back, folks. Either expecting something, planning on something, or something's already hurting them. I don't know what it is, but it's just the way it is. I'm going to go ahead.
You know, that's true. I was running errands this morning. I'm driving by where there's usually a PNC bank. And all of a sudden, it was like the only thing that was there was an ATM machine. The building's gone. There's a big parking lot with this ATM machine just sitting right in the center.
Really?
And it was just like it happened overnight. Of course, I don't go that way very often, so, you know, but I mean, I do go that way once in a while. But yeah, the building is gone, nothing there but a little brick building, you know, enough to house, you know, a couple of the ATM machines.
Wow.
So they are closing, and they don't need tellers. They don't need those. They make you go online.
Sure.
To do everything. But it's not, they're not giving you any breaks. It's just like the self-checkouts. They force you to go to the self-checkouts, but do they give you a credit? Maybe at the end of your receipt that should say, well, thank you for doing your own checking. We're going to reduce your bill by 5%. They don't do that.
Well, I do know that Dollar General is going to quit doing so much self-checkout, thank goodness. We had one of them just come into our town here about a year ago, and they're going to start doing less self-checkout because people are walking out with too many products. Now, this is really true. It's really happening. So it tickled me because I never would check myself out anyway. And I talked to one of the clerks that I found to come check me out. She said most folks, the older people, and I'm one of them, like to be checked out. They don't like to check themselves out. And I said, I don't pay with cards. I pay with cash. I don't like to do cards. She said most of the people, you know, in your age area, doesn't like to use cards either. So, yeah, maybe, I don't know. It's just a mess everywhere you go. But the banks start closing down. We even talk to an individual to handle your transactions. It's when you talk to them now, Melody. I mean, you talk to individuals, yeah, but when you go in and talk to them about maybe wanting to get a loan for a car, if you don't have credit, even though you always paid your bills, if you don't have a credit score, you don't get nothing. You don't get a thing out of them.
True.
That's just the way it is. General Motors laying off 1,300 Michigan auto workers after raking in millions from state taxpayers. I guess we got shafts again, folks, the workers and the taxpayers. General Motors will lay off more than 1,300 auto workers across Michigan right after the Christmas holiday, executive announced this week. Those layoffs come even as GM raked in hundreds of millions of dollars from the state's taxpayers through deals with Governor Gretchen Whitmer. In two separate state filings, GM executives said they are laying off 945 auto workers starting January 1st, who are now currently employed at its Orion assembly plant in Orion Township, Michigan. The layoffs at the Orion plant are the result of the GM's delaying its conversion to produce electric vehicles like the Chevrolet Silverado EV and GMC Sierra EV. At GM's Lansing Grand River assembly stamping plant in Lansing, Michigan, executives said that 369 auto workers will be laid off starting January 1st through March of next year. The layoffs come as GM ends production of the Camaro. I didn't know they were going to quit making Camaros, but anyway. In January 2022, Whitmer announced a massive financial agreement with GM, which ultimately saw Michigan taxpayers footing $824 million to have the automakers promise to invest billions in auto jobs across the state. GM's $7 billion investment in Michigan, the largest in their history, will create and retain 5,000 good-paying jobs, enable us to build on our legacy as a place that put the world on wheels. As part of the agreement, GM promised to convert its Orion plant to produce EVs with a $4 billion investment while investing millions in the Lansing plant. The agreement vowed to create 4,000 jobs in Michigan. GM CEO Mary Barra said at the time that the investments would have not been possible without Whitmer's helping shore up taxpayer money to give the automakers big tax breaks. Mm-hmm. Well, they got the tax breaks and the shaft in the workers and the taxpayers. There you
go.
There you go. I mean, folks like your lump, but that's just the way it is. This is for real. You can get on an AI somewhere and pretend like you're making lots of money and do all that kind of stuff, but this is for real life. 1,300 workers will be laid off after the holidays. And the taxpayer money they invested for the EVs didn't happen. And, of course, I can't even blame GM because the EVs aren't selling. There you go. Although they're starting to build highway stretches now in some places that charge your cars as you drive. That's interesting. Go ahead, Melody.
No, it is. I mean, as long as the taxpayers there are willing to dish it out, they're going to keep taking, taking, taking. I mean, it's that simple.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. That's how it's all designed.
Had been for a long time.
Yep.
Had been for a long time. And soaring crime pushes the Wizards and Capitals out of D.C., potential revenue loss of $25 million. Washington, D.C.'s soaring crime rate pushed the Wizards and Capitals to relocate the professional basketball and hockey teams out of the nation's capital, surrounding these districts. Residents say potentially costing districts $25 million in yearly tax revenue. The Metropolitan Police Department in 2023 statistics show this, Melody. Robberies in D.C. are up 69%. Violent crime up 40%. Carjacking is up 89%. This is in D.C., the capital of the United States of America. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin reached a tentative agreement this week with the parent company of NBA's Washington Wizards and NHL's Washington Capitals to relocate the teams out of the crime-infested war zone, D.C., near the shore of the Potomac, where they want to be, about a 10-minute drive from D.C. District. It's not just about money, but you've got to talk about the environment. What is the surrounding area of the venue? Virginia Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears told WMAL on Wednesday, if you go to a game and you're having fun, but if you have to leave the game, you have to look over your shoulder, that's an issue. Television commentator Ben Dominic believes that Democrat-controlled government of D.C. is ultimately responsible for the soaring crime and departing sports teams. Mm-hmm. But the crime rate, robbery 69%, violent crime 40%, carjackings 89%, I think I'd want to leave that area too. Melly, what do you think?
I agree. You know, and the thing of it is, you know, they continue to deny that the crime isn't bad, that it's just situational and it's all taken out of context and so forth. But I don't think so.
No way.
No, I don't think so. But how they try to, you know, blow it off. And it is a...
Well, in order to, maybe they believe it themselves, but I have a hard time believing anybody common sense can see through that. It's not just D.C., it's Chicago, New York City, places where crime is rampant and growing every day because people are restricted even able to defend themselves. Now, much less the police force has been gutted, and police get in trouble if you look cross-eyed at anybody now. It's a crime, so
mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. You mentioned a minute ago about Japan's steel. This is really hard for me to understand and accept. Japan's Nippon Steel to buy U.S. steel for $14 billion. I'm old enough to remember when U.S. steel was a big thing in the world, not just America. I remember I'm about 4 hours south of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I never went up there much when I was growing up, but I had an aunt lived up there. You get through there, and those steel manufacturing facilities were huge. They were like a town, they were like a city unto themselves. We're all working, and I mean, booming, manufacturing steel for everything from railroads to automakers, all over producing for the world. Now, Japan is buying out U.S. steel, Melody. That bothered me a little bit. Does it sit well with you?
Well, it bothers me, too.
It is. America is losing everything we once had.
Yep.
Nippon Steel Corporation, Japan's largest steel production company, announced Monday morning they will acquire Pittsburgh-based U.S. Steel in an all-cash deal valued at $55 per share, which equates to more than 2 billion yen, or about $14 billion. So,
wow.
Nippon believes that acquisition of U.S. Steel will enhance its world-leading manufacturing and technology capabilities, enable it to expand their geographic areas. The U.S. is currently the world's fourth top producer of crude steel after China, India, and Japan. I mean, the U.S. once was the world manufacturer of steel, high-quality steel. Anywhere else was junk. That's changed. I was in sales for over 40-some years selling. One of the items we sold was hardware, nuts and bolts, and different things that do with steel. And U.S.-made products were the number one. No one wanted the foreign products. But when I left, there was one U.S. manufacturing left, Lake Erie. Lake Erie still made some nuts and bolts in this country. The rest of them came from other countries. Canada made a good piece of hardware, but I saw boats coming from Japan, Taiwan, everywhere. They caused accidents. I had some several good customers who bought our hardware because it was American made, and they could trust it. Oh, break time. Go ahead, Melody.
It's that time. Yes, we'll be right back.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really grab me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas.
I could listen to Christmas music for hours. Actually, I did when I was driving last week. Listened to all kinds of Christmas music. Are you there, Butch?
I'm right here.
And you know, it's just that, you know, with those old time singers, you know, Perry Como and Frankie and Dean and all of them, Jim Nabors, they all sang it with such heart, you know, and with joy too. And it was, I don't know, it was just, I never realized how many of those people sang the Christmas song, you know. There was a lot of different editions of that. So anyway, renditions, I should say. So anyway, 1-800-375-4188.
Go right ahead.
1-800-375-4188. Butch?
I think you call that reminiscing.
Yes.
Reminiscing.
I think so.
I mean, the first one.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah, where Gene Autry singing Rudolph Reynolds' Reindeer. He was the first one to sing that song. And that's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
I've heard of that. I've heard of that song.
I bet you have. You probably heard Gene Autry.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah. I know Gene.
Some years ago, I was talking with John Wayne. Somebody said who, and I thought, my gosh, the world's forgot everything. But anyway, if I don't get to watch a whole lot of TV, I don't care much for TV anymore. Not much fit to watch. That's just a history channel, maybe. But I had an old Gilligan's Island program. You remember Gilligan's Island?
I do.
I had one there from 1959. Well, I guess one of the first episodes. I got to think about that.
Really?
Go ahead.
59?
59.
Wow.
59. You know how many years that's been ago now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. No, I'm sorry, 1964. Excuse me, 1964. I'm sorry. But that's been 59 years ago since that came out. 59 years since that came out. And I can remember when that show first came on TV. Wow. Gee.
Does that mean we're old?
Oh. Oh, look in the mirror. But
well,
anyway.
Does that mean you're old?
There you go. I can remember when that show first came out, Gilligan's Island. That's just unbelievable. And for those interested, Bob Denver, when he retired, moved to Princeton, West Virginia. He passed away in Princeton, West Virginia some years ago. But anyway.
Quite a few years ago. Wasn't he in a plane crash or something?
No, not Bob Denver. I'm talking about Bob, the one that started in Gilligan's Island, not Bob Denver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking of John Denver.
Yeah, John Denver, right. Bob Denver. Okay. There we go. All right, we'll get right in a minute, folks.
Let's move on.
You listen to Melody, you always understand all about what's happening in economic events and everything. So you got them made. Now, Katie Hobbs says, I don't particularly think she's that great a governor, but she's doing something. So Katie Hobbs goes bold. Arizona governor sends National Guard to secure border. Good for her. Although it should be called the State Guard. Last week, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs, a Democrat in Arizona, expressed her disappointment over the Biden administration's failure to secure our border. She requested that the president reassign National Guard soldiers to help in the reopening of the Lukeville port of entry. The Arizona Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs sent a letter to federal officials demanding that they reimburse Arizona over $500,000 in costs for illegal immigration, drug interdiction, and law enforcement due to the federal government's failure to secure our borders. The governor informed the federal government of Arizona's debt of $512,529,333 that federal border access cost us. My colleagues pointed out that Hobbs claimed in the letter the Lukeville crossing was vital to Arizona's well-being. She said our ports are vital to the economy of our state and our country. They must be adequately staffed and equipped to continue to drive economic growth. The governor had not yet responded to the president. Hobbs did not get the answer she wanted. According to Cameron Arcant, the center square on Friday that she issued an order placing National Guard soldiers along the U.S. border, including Lukeville, Arizona. So some governors are starting to say enough is enough and actually doing something. Well, I'm not too keen on Hobbs as far as being the governor, but she made a move. Texas needs to do the same thing. So does California. And mean it. Not just say it, but do it. And another border issue that I think should concern everybody. As border extremism goes mainstream, vigilante groups take a starring role. The border wall arches over the steep slopes of the Sonoran Desert, a vast row of brown steel slats jutting up from the rugged terrain, rippling with the heat in the afternoon sun. A man dressed head to toe in camouflage and carrying an AR-style rifle huffs and puffs his way up one hill and scans the horizon. Over the radio, his comrades in Arizona Border Recon, a civilian patrol group, report finding 31 migrants near a spot where this wall abruptly ends. The remote area west of Nogales, Arizona, called California Gulch, is where the fencing built during the Trump era gives way to miles of open but unforgiving wilderness. Half a dozen members of the Ragtag Patrol have set up a camp nearby. The 64-year-old leader, Tim Foley, says it's a corridor for smuggling people and drugs, activity he and his group aim to disrupt. They got dumped down here by a cartel, Foley says, of migrants. They didn't know where they were. The encounter at the wall reflects extremes to which perceptions of border insecurity are now driving the actions of both citizens and the government. Fueled by right-wing rhetoric about the border being overrun, long-established groups such as Foley's are enjoying it resurgent, attracting volunteers from across the country and re-influencing the national debate on immigration. Well, I don't know why they would say this is right-wing rhetoric. I mean, whenever you have a Democrat governor like Cobb saying the president has failed us on the border, why would you call that right-wing etiquette rhetoric, Melody? I mean, we have a Democrat governor saying this, it's happening, and this group sends right-wing conspiracy, so to speak. I believe they're stretching the truth a little bit on that. I think this is really happening, and people are getting fed up with it.
Well, I agree. People are getting fed up with it, but I mean, there's enough media out there to whatever was said from a Democrat could easily be ignored. And that's probably what they're doing.
Well, I saw who is the doctor running for the president? I can't remember his name. Starts with an H. Run for Republican president. He's a doctor.
Carson?
No, it just starts with an H. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. An H. I think it's an H. Maybe I'm wrong. He's looks, but he's a doctor. And he was on CNN talking with the reporters about
this
J6. Yeah. Talking about J6. And he was telling the truth about it. And she did her best to cut him off in every way possible to keep from talking. He kept right on talking. People were applauding him, telling how government covered things up. But anyway, I wish I could remember his name. H-A-M-A something. I'm ashamed to say I can't remember it, but I don't follow politics that close. So, but he did a good job answering that question. But anyway, moving on. BP, Evergreen, Euronav halt sailings through a chaotic Red Sea as the insurance demand war risk coverage. Folks are getting serious enough now that the main line people that are hauling all the freight through the Red Sea are quitting doing that. That means that a lack of goods will cause products to raise in price. Add Taiwanese container shipping line Evergreen and Belgian tanker owner Euronav to the growing list of major shipping firms halting all sales through the Red Sea Strait. This brings a total to 7. Also, the UK Navy disclosed more details regarding today's incident in the Red Sea, reporting an explosion hit the side of a commercial vessel near Yemen. The Norwegian owner of the ship confirmed that an unidentified object had impacted the vessel on the port side. Brent crude futures have risen 3% from the lows of 75.81 a barrel since early this morning. Between 10 and 12% of global trade passes through the Red Sea each year. So I'm not going to go through all this article, but the shipping is being impacted by the war in the Middle East to the point that's cutting back on shipping through the Red Sea. Well, that's not a good thing to think about, because if they shut off the Red Sea and it connects to the Egypt's Suez Canal, that can make a big difference in a lot of things, couldn't it?
Well, sure. And I mean, I'm surprised that's not, you know, there's other places that they could shut down and disrupt trade and so forth going through those small canal or those small areas. So, yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't done sooner.
Well, and the way around this now, Israel and Arab states create overland trade route to avoid Houthi attacks. Now, apparently, the Arabs are not so mad at Israel that they can't work together doing this. This Israeli logistics company, TruckNet, has successfully brought 10 trucks across a new 2,550-kilometer overland route between the port of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates across Saudi Arabia and Jordan and into Israel. It was revealed on Saturday. The Israeli new website, Walla, reported that the pilot project was the result of a deal with Emirati shipping company PureTrans, FCZO, and the Dubai port operating company, DP World, to transport goods from Dubai to the Israel port of Haifa and back. So they're finding ways around going through the Red Sea to transport the products. And right now they say it's actually a bit cheaper than going through the Red Sea. So I don't know. But apparently the Israelis are getting along well enough with Saudi Arabia and others to do that right now so far. So it's kind of interesting on that. I would have thought there would be more resistance from the Arab countries, but apparently not.
Well, it depends on how bad the Arabs also want to, you know, have a say in the Palestinian, in the Gaza, and so forth. That's their goal, probably. You never know what's on the back burner of these countries when you have two countries that, you know, are usually at odds and so forth, that, you know, there's a bigger scheme.
Yep, there is. There is. And the Middle East is a rather large area, but the shipping routes through the waters there are pretty scarce.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we're in that time so quickly here. World of Trouble. Conscription on the table as European militaries dwindle. The British Army is now the smallest it's been in 200 years as more defense personnel continue to leave than join. While in Germany, the military recruitment crisis is so acute, the defense minister speaks of bringing back conscription. I don't have time to go through all this. There's not enough time for that. But the European Union is running out of soldiers. Nobody's volunteering. It's basically a voluntary, like it is in the States now. And they're discussing, of course, drafting, bringing back the draft. As one of the some of the gentlemen said, well, taking away the idea of the draft back in 2011, was said was a mistake. Well, I think America is starting to face the same thing. I do look for a draft in America, and I won't say next year for sure. Maybe the first few months of next year, I think it's going to happen. I hope not, but we'll see. And North Korea fired an ICBM missile condemning U.S. war moves. Now, this is big, folks. North Korea can now reach anywhere in the United States. North Korea fired an intercontinental ballistic missile on Monday that has arranged to hit anywhere in the United States, South Korea, and Japan, marking second launch in hours as Pyongyang condemned U.S.-led show of force as war moves. The missile has the potential to travel more than 9,300 miles, meaning it can reach anywhere in Japan, the mainland United States. So that's something to be concerned about, folks. Now North Korea is a nuclear force for the United States to be concerned about. It can reach us now with their missiles. This is the world heating up for something. I do believe in my spirit 2024 is going to be not a very good ride. Melody?
I think it's going to be very interesting. Very interesting with the election year and everything else. I can only imagine what it's going to be like come November, what we have to look forward to. But, you know, was it Clinton? Was when the first one, what we know, Bush said the New World Order and Clinton was a citizen of the world and so forth. And one point in time, we were out of reach from all mm-hmm. of these countries. We had security. That's what happens when you become a part of the global community. We're no longer, we're very reachable in so many ways, not just by missiles, but also by our infrastructure, our trade.
Our borders.
You know, we talk about our pharmaceuticals. We import more food than we export. I mean, it's just like I don't know. It used to be the world was dependent on the United States. Now the United States is dependent on the world. So, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.